Lord, Holy Spirit, will you draw us? Will you bring us closer and closer to the Father's heart, into that place of intimacy where there's no strangeness about our relationship? Where, Lord, we know you so well that we just love you. That there are no questions, there are no fights, there's no warring in our hearts. Where we're just so yielded in love. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us to strip away any mask, anything that separates us from the presence of the Father, right now in Jesus' name. If you're standing in this room today and you feel that you have a mask, something that hides your true identity from the Lord, take it off right now in faith. If your pain separates you and doesn't allow you to be real with the Lord, take off that mask of pain now in the name of Jesus, trusting Him that He'll reach down and do a healing work in your heart. If your status as a victim is a mask that separates you from the Lord and with fellowship with His saints, then take off that mask today. Yield that victimhood. Yield the rights that come with that victimhood away. Give them to God now in the name of Jesus. Take up your identity as a son or daughter of the Most High God, the one who created you for an eternal destiny. Take it up now in faith. In the name of Jesus. If your status or your wealth or your prosperity is a mask that you wear to hide your true identity, your broken heart, take it off now. Just let it go. Stand up in your true identity as a son or daughter of God right now in the name of Jesus. Do it as a step of faith. And your faith will be rewarded. In Jesus' name. Johan, can we sing Good Good Father? As we sing this song, I want you to really identify with what we're singing. When we sing the words, "You're a good, good Father," then in faith, if you don't believe that, then just say, "I say, Lord, you are a good, good Father. That is who you are." And as you sing, "I am loved by you. It's who I am. That is my identity." Take on the truth of those words. I am loved by the Lord of all eternity, the one who was before all things and will be always. He will never end. You are loved by Him. It is who you are.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. That you're near and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Who I am, you're a good, good Father. Who you are, who you are, who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. For answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, and you know just what we need before we say your word. You're a good, good Father. To you are. who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Be so unexplainable, I can hardly. Still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into your love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
It's who we are. It's who I am. It's the purpose for which you created us. You created us to love us. You created us to become the beautiful, purified bride of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for making it possible for us to be in relationship with you. Thank you that we are bought with a price, and that price was sufficient. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for freeing us from sin and death. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that in your presence we can take off our masks, we can be real. You know it all anyway, Lord. So we do that now. We take off our masks, Lord, and we yield to you. We give our hearts and our lives and our minds to you now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Does anybody feel different to the way you were when you came into this room? Jesus is in the business of changing us, changing our hearts, changing who we are, so we can be conformed into Christ-likeness. Thank you. And it's a privilege and a joy to be a part of that, isn't it? I think what sometimes we're inclined to forget is that every emotion that we experience, because we're made in the image of God, it means that surely he too must experience those kinds of emotions. So when we talk about the joy of the Lord, then we too can enjoy joy, can't we? And I think sometimes in church we're inclined to forget that. We get too serious. So as we consider, perhaps after the service today and you go home and you think about what the Lord has said to you today, just make a quality decision to enjoy what He's done in your heart and in your life today. Okay. We're going to share communion now. Just before we do that, I want to do a little introduction. So we can put the first slide as a quote. Everything that we do in ministry in the church, the purpose of it is to build up the church, to edify the body, to make us more and more into the body that Jesus wants us to be. So John Piper, somebody said to him, "What's the point of all this theology? He's a well-known teacher." And my answer to quote was to quote a middle-aged theologian, I think it was Bonaventure, who, when asked, "Why don't people love God more?" His answer was, "They don't know Him better." In other words, if we don't know God, we can't love God. So when we teach and preach in church, it's so each of us can be encouraged to get to know the Lord better. The better we know Him, the more eagerly we will want to be with Him and to love Him. And this is a normal result. It's perfectly logical. Because He is good, and He is love, and He is merciful, and He does extend His grace to us, and He really, really, really wants us to be with Him forever. So die belangrikste doel van enige bediening in die kerk is om vir haar op te bou. Dit is hoekom ons preek en onderrig, en hoekom ons in Shofar die Encounter reeks en Bybelskool onder andere aanbied. So ek wil net vir u bemoedig, as u nog nie Bybelskool gedoen het nie, of die Encounters gedoen het nie, teken in. Dit is nie baie moeite van ons kant nie, en die seën wat daar uitkom is booprys, regtig. As jy miskien huiwer, vra vir iemand wat die kursusse gedoen het, en hulle sal vir jou oortuig binne minute. Okay. So, how do we get to know the Lord? How do I get to know my wife? How does anyone get to know a friend? It's by spending time with them, isn't it? And practically, that's probably best done in our relationship with the Lord by our consciously inviting Him into every part of our lives. So it means nothing's excluded. When I go to work, I consciously include the Lord in everything I do at work. When I take time off to ride my bicycle or go walking, whatever, when I spend time with my wife, all of it, invite consciously the Lord's presence into that. As we do that, we'll start to understand His character and His love for us more and more. The other thing that we need to do is spend dedicated time alone with Him, reading the scriptures and actually just listening for His voice. And yes, as any of us who have been married for a long time will know, there are times between a married couple who love each other of silence when you don't actually speak and yet you are in fellowship with one another. You're comfortable in one another's presence and you are in fellowship. And it's the same time sometimes with the Lord. We need to just relax, just be with Him, completely unmasked, open and honest before Him. It's also in spending time with other Christian disciples who can instruct or rebuke or encourage us in our walk with the Lord. We do need each other. So we look at the next slide. This is a quote. It's secular. "The true worth and ability of a product is only known by its manufacturer. Retailers and customers cannot tell you the true worth of the product." So in other words, people who sell the product, people who use the product, don't have the same in-depth knowledge about the product as the manufacturer does. And I think if each of us were to be asked, "Do you know how to use every feature on your cell phone?" Can anybody honestly say yes? Anybody? There's nobody in this room who can say that they can use every feature on their cell phone. But now, is it because we don't care? We don't care that they're there? Is it because we don't know how to use them? And how would it be if we decided one day we want to find out how every feature worked? Who would be the best person to speak? Open the manual. Go onto the internet, Google, my phone, whatever it might be. Read the manual. Consult with the manufacturer. And it is precisely the same, as we've said so many times before, in our relationship with the Lord. If we want to know how to relate to the Lord, find out His plan from Him. And eat the Word. Okay, because if you eat it, it'll nourish you. Right, we're going to do communion now. So what I want to do, I want to read Isaiah 53 to you before we eat this. And I'm not putting it up on the screen so we can just have a blank screen. I'd like you to shut your eyes and just let the words of Scripture soak into your heart. Just let Jesus do something in your heart. So I'm going to start reading now. It's from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. And that's the end of the reading. And so, Lord, as we read this prophecy that you gave to the prophet Isaiah about 7 centuries before Jesus came, we are reminded of the fact that you perfectly, Jesus, fulfilled the Father's plan. There was nothing you left out. There is no sin that cannot be covered by your blood that you shed on the cross. There is no sickness that cannot be healed through the fact that you allowed your body to be broken on the cross. And so today, Lord, as we take these elements and consume them, make them part of our souls, we remember you, Lord, with gratitude and with a sense of worship. Thank you, Jesus. You can eat and drink in your own time. Lord, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come now and to speak to us, to inspire us, to challenge us, to strengthen our faith, to call us into a deeper relationship with the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, today's subject, we can have the title slide. Am I still a wolf in sheep's clothing? When we become disciples of Christ, and I mean this in a biblically defined sense, in other words, somebody who is committed to following Christ, we become in a very real way a wolf in sheep's clothing. Why do I say that? Let me explain it. One of the very first steps of faithful obedience that's required of us by the Lord when we're born again is that of submitting to the believer's baptism. That means that we obediently submit to being fully immersed in water in the presence of other Christian disciples who witnessed the symbolic laying down of our old sinful lives and being born again of the Holy Spirit into a new life in Christ. And the Apostle Paul describes what happens in his letter to the Galatians. We'll read Galatians 3:27 from the ESV. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And in the NLT we'll read from 26. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we're made children by faith, okay? And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. So this step of water baptism, of the believer's baptism, is a vital stepping stone for our walk with in our relationship with the Lord. The end of that sentence in verse 27 is translated from the original Greek word shown on the next slide, which I have no idea how to pronounce that, so I won't show off and try. But it says to clothe or be clothed with, in the sense of sinking into a garment. And I think that's the most beautiful picture. I mean, if it was winter, we'd enjoy it a whole lot more. But think about being in a snowy place and somebody, you're cold, and somebody comes to you with a fur coat. That sense of sinking into it and being encompassed by it, being completely engulfed in that garment. That's the sense of the word in the verse here, which says, putting on new clothes. That's how Christ clothes us. He completely embraces us, engulfs us. Beautiful. I love that picture. So wanneer ons as gelowiges gedoop word, trek ons Christus aan. Maar aan die binnenkant is ons nog steeds ons ou sondige self. So when we've been baptized as believers, we've been clothed with Christ, as we've just seen. But inside, we're still pretty much as we were before we became a disciple of Christ. And I think all of us can attest to that. So we're clothed with Christ, but we're still full of the old sinful nature. And that is why I say a wolf in sheep's clothing. But there is good news. Even though you and I start our lives out as Christian disciples as a wolf in sheep's clothing, because we've been clothed in Christ, we can be renewed into Christ-likeness if we allow ourselves to be filled with and directed by the Holy Spirit. He will renew our hearts and minds just as much as we'll let Him. And this is a key thing. We allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. He will not work unless we allow Him to. In this way, we'll become like sheep in sheep's clothing instead of wolves in sheep's clothing. Soos ons ons toewy aan gehoorsaamheid vir die Heilige Gees en vir die beginsels wat in die Bybel neergelê is, word ons harte en denke vernuwe en word ons soos 'n skaap in 'n skaapse vel. This process of renewal far surpasses any worldly tradition of New Year's resolutions. It's a year by year, month by month, week by week, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, instant by instant process if we will actively and responsibly follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as and when He lovingly leads us. Why would we want to do that? Could it be because we're so overwhelmed by the love of the Lord for us that we want to love Him in return? To learn to love Him in return? To bring Him joy? That joy we were speaking about just now? I'm going to explain the concept of being clothed in Christ a bit more clearly. We'll go right back to the beginning of mankind's existence on the earth, Genesis, my favorite book in the scripture, favorite book actually. Genesis 2, we'll read from 21 to 25. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and He brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." Verse 24, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. They were naked and unashamed. Why? Why was that? How is it that they were able to stand in the presence of God, naked and unashamed? Was it not because they had not been separated from the Lord, their Creator and God? So in a very real sense, He was their covering or clothing. Just as when we have gone through the waters of baptism, we are clothed with Christ. There was nothing for them to hide. They had no desire to hide anything. There was no fear in their relationship at all. So now, we know that after this, the enemy deceived mankind into sinning. And we'll take up the story in Genesis 3, 7 to 13. After they fell for temptation and sinned, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So before that, they didn't know. There was no sense of understanding that they were naked. It was not an important thing, because they were clothed with the Lord. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. There's a whole preach in that, just that sentence, but I won't go into it now. It's for another day. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Why? Because of fear. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Verse 10. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. There's a whole sermon in that too. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Something we need to know, and we see it right here at the very beginning of creation, the creation of mankind. The enemy will always try to separate us from the Lord. That is his life's purpose. When we are not clothed with Christ, we are naked and ashamed. Why are we ashamed? It's because of our sin. We're ashamed because something else was more important to us than our relationship with the Lord. And just go back again to what happened at the temptation. Eve was tempted to take the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And she believed, or decided, in fact, that it was more important than her relationship with the Lord. That's what separated them. Now in the next passage, we'll see how the Lord himself clothed her with animal skins. And that implies quite clearly that there was death so that they could be covered, which is a prophetic picture of the work of Christ at the cross on a much smaller scale, but it's there. Genesis 3 verse 21. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. But now if we think about it, the clothing simply covered them. Their hearts and their minds were still affected and infected by sin, weren't they? Nothing in their hearts had changed. It was an external covering, just as when we are clothed with Christ at the baptism, our believer's baptism. So if you carry on reading Genesis, we'll see in the account of Genesis how quickly every one of Adam and Eve's offspring, except for Enoch, who walked with God, was caught up in ever-worsening sin, which culminated in the judgment of the great flood. Could we describe those people as wolves in sheep's clothing? Maybe. Terwijl die Here vir hulle met klere gedek het, kan ons seker vir hulle as wolwe in skaapvelle noem. Die sondige natuur binne in hulle het nie verander nie. Die Here het dit moontlik gemaak vir verhouding met hom, maar hulle het gekies om rebellies te wees. And exactly the same, when we are clothed with Christ, he covers us. He covers our sinful nature, our wolf nature, so that we can be in relationship with the Father. It is through the blood of Christ. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for you and me to cover us so that we would not be judged when we come into the presence of the Father because of the sin in our lives. It's a beautiful picture. Now we'll look at the end. We'll look at Revelation 16, verse 15. The reason that this verse is in brackets, it's parenthesized because they are the words of Christ. So the Apostle John is telling the story of the vision that he saw that was revealed to him, and he is quoting Jesus as he says this. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. So there's a warning to us here to stay clothed in Christ. So when I go through the waters of baptism, Christ clothes me. And in faith, I need to stay clothed. But remember that the choice to stay clothed, as in everything else in our lives, is with me. And here we are warned clearly by Jesus himself, keeping his garments on, staying awake. He says, I'm coming like a thief. In other words, you don't know when I'm going to come. Doesn't matter who stands up and says, Jesus is coming tomorrow. They do not know. No one knows. Even Jesus himself doesn't know. Only the Father knows. And yes, there will be signs, and many, many, many of the signs have been fulfilled already, as many of us know. And yet, even so, he could come this second, or in 50 years' time, or 300 years' time. I don't know. The Father knows. He will come, though. He will come. We need to stay clothed with Christ right up until the very end of our lives. Otherwise, we'll be found naked and ashamed. It's a daily choice to stay clothed with Christ. Dit is nodig dat ons tot die einde toe met Christus gekleed bly. So nie sal ons naak en skaam gevind word. Dit bly ons keuse om in Christus te bly of nie. But now, how do we stay clothed with Christ and become like sheep in sheep's clothing, practically speaking? We'll read Romans 12. We're going to read from just 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And when you see that he says, give your bodies as a living sacrifice, what is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is a gift. And the worth of our sacrifice is so tiny. When the temple worship was instituted and the sacrifices were instituted, worship offerings and peace offerings and all sin offerings, every one of those offerings was burnt to ash. In other words, it was completely incinerated. There was nothing left but ash. In other words, dust, just like us. So the living sacrifice that I give to the Lord, my body, actually is composed just of dust. It's not worth much, but it's all I've got. So let's give it to him as a gift, willingly. It's simple practical advice, this. We let God transform us through a change of heart. And the more that we allow this to happen, the more that we will want to stay clothed with Christ. Ons laat die Here toe om ons te verander, deur ons denkwijze te verander. We often say, we've heard the scripture quoted, that the Lord will take the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. He will only do that, A, if we allow him to, and B, our hearts only change in line with our thinking. We can't expect our hearts to change if we haven't changed the way that we think about things, which is why Paul, the Apostle Paul here, talks about renewing your mind, changing the way that you think. Okay, it's a very important principle, this. 1 John 2, we'll read from 24 to 29. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. I am writing these things to you, warn you about those who want to lead you astray. Seen that? I've seen it. Many, many, many people masquerading as disciples of Jesus Christ. In fact, some of them are, who are willingly leading people in the church astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit. So how do we discern these people? By listening to the Holy Spirit. And he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. In other words, the Holy Spirit in us helps us to discern what is true and what is not true. Verse 27b, for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Stay clothed with Christ. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ, so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. So a pivotal truth in everything we've said is that we need to be filled with or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Without him living within us, there is no hope of becoming Christ-like. It doesn't work. It will not work. This is God's plan. So if you've never asked the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit, please let us pray for you at the end of the service so that you can properly fulfill the Lord's purpose in creating you. As enige vraagteken rondom hierdie ding is in jou gedagtes, kom asseblief na die diens vorentoe en laat ons vir jou bid. Laat jy regtig gevul word met die Heilige Gees. Ephesians 4 verses 20 and 20 to 24. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So there we have the same thought reinforced through a different message to a different congregation. So we see here again that it's only possible to let the Spirit renew us when he lives in us. Then we will become sheep, following the great shepherd Jesus Christ in sheep's clothing. And while the Holy Spirit will always lead and inspire and teach us, there are the obvious things that we need to learn from Scripture that we should avoid. Scripture's there for a reason, people. Lord didn't inspire the writing down of these thoughts just for entertainment or as a book that we can use to prop up one leg of the bed or hit somebody over the head with. Scripture is there to instruct us, to teach us, to give us wisdom. We desperately need to spend time just studying and reading and soaking in the scriptures. I never said it before, but you know, garbage in, garbage out. You listen to what the media tells you and never read scripture, your mind is not going to be renewed. Read the scriptures. Eat the word. Let it change you. It's vital for every one of us. This is not a heavy thing to do. It's something, if you feel, as I did once, that it's hard to read the scriptures and I don't understand what's going on here and it takes too much time, just take off that mask. Go before the Lord and say to him, look, Lord, I know you know I feel like this, but this is how I feel. And express it to him and say, change me, Lord. I need to change. I know I need to change. I know my heart's desire, if I really, really, really dig down deep enough, I will find that my heart's desire is to be made a Christ-like disciple, a son worthy of sitting on the throne next to Jesus Christ one day. Be that honest with him. And as he did with me, he will for you fulfill that prayer. He will give you a hunger and a thirst for Scripture. He will give you revelation from Scripture. The things that we learn from Scripture that we should avoid, the reason for that is that we need to avoid those things. So when our hearts are full of things that, the reason we want to avoid those things is because when our hearts are full of things that don't enhance our relationship with the Lord, there's no room for the things that do please Him and cause us to want to be with Him. And this is why we need to read and study the Scriptures. Some of the things that we know that we should avoid are shown to us in the next passage, Romans 13:11-14. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. In other words, stop being passive. Get active. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Do you believe that Christ's coming is closer than it was a minute ago? Yes, of course it is. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Imagine being a soldier in an army. One of the things about a soldier is that he will wear a uniform, and the uniform identifies him as a soldier in that nation's army, doesn't it? So every time he walks past a window, every time he looks in the mirror, every time he gets dressed, every time he washes his clothes, every time he irons, he's reminded of the fact that he is a soldier in that nation's army. When we are clothed with Christ, it's exactly the same. We are reminded constantly of the fact that we belong to Him. And we need to shape our thinking to fit that reality, that truth. A simple and very easy test for any proposed action is this. Would I do it if the light of the world, Jesus Christ, were here with me physically? Just ask that question. If the deed would be done in the dark, in other words, outside His presence, don't do it. Uitstekende toets vir enige besluit is om te vra of ek dit in die lig of in die fisiese teenwoordigheid van die Here Jesus Christus sal doen. As ek dit van Hom wil wegsteek, dan moet ek dit nie doen nie. Now, it's as we embrace the process of having our thoughts renewed that we become more like who we look like. Not only will we be clothed with Christ, we'll live Christ-like lives, become sheep in sheep's clothing. I'm going to leave the next couple of scriptures because I see it's getting late. We'll go to Colossians 3, verse 9. It's another little list. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him, renewing your mind, being clothed with Christ. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us, if we have received him into our souls through the Holy Spirit. Okay. We'll go to Revelation 19, 6-8. It's the second last slide. This is an encouragement to press through with this process of being made a sheep in sheep's clothing. Revelation 19, 6-8. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." So on that day, we will be given the choice to pick up what we have done according to the will of the Lord, those obedient acts, those decisions we made to follow him, and put them on as bright and pure, beautiful clothing. That word, bright and pure, I believe, from what I've read, is only two places in Revelation, in fact, the whole of Scriptures, that that word occurs. It's lampros, which means it emits light. You think of Jesus Christ as the source of everything. Without him, there was no light. When he was on the earth, he was called the light of the world. In a very real way, on that day, we will be given clothing that will emit light. Isn't it a beautiful picture? I really like that. So if you and I persevere to the end, we will be part of this glorious bride. We'll be dressed like that. The righteous deeds of the saints are the deeds that are done while we are in right standing with the Lord. Okay, it's important to get that when we are right standing with the Lord. So I can do lots of good things or apparently good things, but are they done in response to what I've heard from the Lord or not? I need to be in right standing with him. So in summary, the final slide. To become Christ-like, or a sheep in sheep's clothing, I need to submit to being led by the Holy Spirit. To become Christ-like, I need to avoid deeds that are done in darkness. And finally, to become Christ-like, I need to pursue holiness. Could you stand with me? I'd like to lead us in prayer. Just right where you are, close your eyes and just listen to what I have to say. If you feel as though you are at the moment a wolf in sheep's clothing, just tell the Lord that right now in your own words. Just be honest with him. Just say whatever you want to, but Lord, I just feel like a wolf in sheep's clothing. I feel like a fake. Now, having said that, if you would like to try to be renewed in your heart and mind so that you start to fit your clothing of Christ, tell the Lord that now, also in your own words. Just say to him, "Lord, I want to be renewed. Will you just grace me to do this, Lord, in Jesus' name?" Just ask him. And now, in your own words, just commit to the process of being made Christ-like. Just ask the Lord to keep reminding you of the decision that you've made here today, of allowing him to renew your mind, of allowing him to shape you so that you become Christ-like, holy. If you, like me, so often have felt that there's no way that I can ever measure up, there's just too much that you've done wrong, there's too much I've done wrong, there's too much sin, there's too much dirt, filth, there's too much that potentially would separate me from people, never mind God, just know that the blood of Christ was shed for you. That the blood of Christ will cover every sin, if we allow him to do that for us. Lord, thank you for your perfect plan. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for challenging us, for stretching us, for leading us, for guiding us. Thank you for wanting us to be your bride, your son's bride. And thank you, Jesus, that you want us as your bride. And Lord, today, I hope I speak for everybody when I say, Lord, we commit to the process of being made ready to be the bride of Christ on that great day, clothed in shining, bright, pure garments. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If there's anybody here who was touched by anything who would like prayer, please, we would love to pray with you. Be bold. Take off the mask if you have to. Otherwise, you're welcome to have some coffee or tea and enjoy one another's company.